want to pick out perhaps three encounters, a good sermonic number, as always. Beginning, of course, with our visit to Oakington, the detention centre. The people who work at Oakington are honest and hard-working people, caught up in a system that they can't alter by their own individual decisions, but caught up with implementing a whole lot of decisions and policies whose effect is deeply, deeply injurious to human beings and their dignity. And that brought to my mind, in the light of the more general thoughts I've been sharing, something about both the intense tragedy of a lot of our situations, where many of us are caught up with implementing systems and structures which we know to be damaging and don't see a quick way out, and where many of us also would rather not acknowledge the reality of the damage we do, individually or corporately, as a person, as a nation. And I came away from Oakington feeling the intense, shame, but I think it's unavoidable to feel about such an institution in our country, where human dignity is systematically denied and where people are pushed to the edge of things, a sense of the often inarticulate passion for understanding, acceptance and meaning that you hear from people in those marginal positions. A strengthened sense, in other words, of glory and of tragedy, of the extraordinary beauty that comes through in human beings, even in dreadful situations, and the ways in which our common life and our habits deny that and stifle it. That was one encounter, as you might say, on the edge. But there are different kinds of edge. There's not only the social edge, the marginal people who suffer because of poverty, inarticulacy, getting into trouble with the law, being swept up into systems they don't understand. There's another kind of living on the edge, which I discovered a bit about at lunchtime today, visiting a major scientific research unit. And getting from there a sense of both the excitement and the enormous risk of scientific inquiry, another kind of opening to glory, though they'd probably all be rather embarrassed if I said it to them in those terms. What I saw, one or two people in particular in that institute, was a joy and a love in their work, which was quite infectious. I'm an absolute scientific illiterate, and I imagine that before I arrived, there must have been people, as it were, scaling down and down and down what they were going to say to me. No, the other people don't understand that. But what communicated itself was actually very precisely that sense of the joy and privilege of not knowing, of being in a world constantly inviting you into new perspectives and new realities which were potentially very dangerous and very difficult, and yet which couldn't somehow be wholly avoided. And coming out of that from, again, a couple of them in particular, some very strong, some very marked concerns about how you shaped and understood a real vital sense of what was distinctively human in all this. Living on another kind of edge, but the edge where you look not into the abyss of human suffering, but somehow into the endlessness of a universe which is alive with undisclosed and undiscovered meanings. I felt it was, in a strange way, a quite prayerful place, though most of the people there would not, I think, have known quite what prayer was or to whom it might be made. attitude there. Talk a little bit more about prayer than some of what I occasionally see in religious practice. And going straight from there, we've had nothing if not a varied couple of days. Going straight from there to the Emmaus community in Leather Beach, we watched people working alongside the homeless in ways which allowed the homeless the dignity of producing things, selling things, managing business. It's one of the distinctive things about the Emmaus community. That's how it deals with homelessness. Not through soup kitchens, not through ambulance work, but through trying to give people a sense of responsibility for what they're doing and value in their labour. Now, the Emmaus community in Leather Beach is literally on the edge of the town, right next to the roadway. It looks and feels a bit isolated at first sight. Only you realise, as you listen to people talking about it, you realise that what they're doing is something deeply central about human dignity. Restoring to people on the edge, people without leverage and power, some sense of their worth. And doing so in a very distinctive way, because there are no managers and managed and officers of clients. There is a community where everybody shares in the decision-making and the common management of the business, the things that are made there, marketed there, the second-hand goods that are sold there, all managed jointly. And there again, glory, a sense of dignity, a sense of people responding to a call coming through, a sense of something very fundamental being uncovered about humanity as such, and a sense of how, in spite of everything, in spite of Oak Kingdom, human beings are still capable of living alongside each other more deeply and demandingly than the world often imagines. And so as I look back at these 2-3 days, I don't actually feel that I've been shunted from pillar to post, trying to cope with vastly and unmanageably different contexts, but that there's been a real continuity between what's happening in Oakington, what's happening in Emmaus, what's happening in the university, the whole thing. Because what we've been trying to find words for in the last couple of days is, I guess, a world to believe in. That is, a coherent vision in which we may stand honestly and hopefully and joyfully. And all these experiences of what might be literally edge places, frontier places of experiences, all of that summer has been weaving together for me, and I've no doubt for my brother as well. And I think that's the impact on myself that I've been grateful for, that bishops and archbishops are paid to matter quite a lot, and you can find the words, and sometimes you throw the words ahead of you, rather like somebody climbing a rock face. You hope it catches somewhere, you can pull yourself up. But what helps you pull yourself up is the reality, the raw human reality that's around and makes those words not just words, and gives you something to take away, which is a sense of, maybe I should say, words made flesh.